This is the 1230 TWC Business Beat Radio with Jackie Groundsell on Love to Beat Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. How is everybody? Now, I know you're waiting for me to say, gosh, it's hot in here. Well, it's not. It's blooming freezing. Zanita and I are wrapped up like I don't know what. How is everybody? Jackie Groundsell here today. And as you know, this week is celebration of Menopausal Week. And today we have the Menopausal Gang, the 1230 Menopausal Gang, our hot stuff, going to be filling in for the whole show today. Now, they'll be coming on shortly. So my other three guests will be coming on shortly. But Zanita is here. And in this gap, Zanita, can you tell me, and our listeners, please, what have you got coming up for yourself, disregarding joining in with everybody on the menopause side of things?
Well, there's definitely some menopause coming up, but we'll disregard that for now till everyone's together. Well, thank you, Jackie, for having me here once again. And it's great to be part of the Menopause Gang. So what have I got coming up? Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, I am speaking tomorrow at the Women's Health Well Fest event, which is the first time it's being held by Bromley Well and Age UK, and it's been sponsored by Thackeray Williams Solicitor, and they invited me to come along and talk about mental health for women that matters. So yeah, if you're not doing anything, come along. It's from 10 a.m. through to 3 p.m. if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to be there all day. I'll have my store, so you can come and say hi. Come and have some pictures taken in my affirmation frame.
Oh, that sounds a bit grand.
It is grand. It's so empowering. So, yes, I have that coming up. And this is a bit away down the line, but tickets are sold out. I'm putting on a panto. That's right.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, I know. I've got another hat on, and alongside Mercedes Yearly of Quest Soul Theatre, we're putting on Aladdin. And we've got some great business owners out there who are going to be taking off their business hats and taking a magical flying carpet ride, which is happening on the 16th of December at West Wickham Theatre 62. And guess what? Tickets are all sold out, and it's not the end of October.
That is amazing. Brilliant. So where is that?
At the top end of West Wickham High Street, you know, when you get to the set of traffic lights, we've got the pub on the corner.
On the crossroads, yeah.
You get the crossroads, you take a right if you're coming from Sainsbury's from the big roundabout.
Yes.
So you take a right there, which is round the bend, and it's there.
Oh, okay,
it's really
cool.
Lovely and quirky. So, but anyway, if anyone wants to come along, do you DM
can't.
Me. No, you can. If I get some more tickets, I'm going to be talking to the venue, see if we can squeeze in a few more bodies.
Slim people only, is that the answer?
No. I wouldn't do that.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to resist.
Oh,
yes, you are.
So, yeah, lots of exciting things coming up at this time. Busy, busy, busy. But can I just say, for those of you who know, I had the Let's Talk Better campaign, which is all about inspiring better conversations around stigma and taboo topics within the community. And we had our third event, which was called The Last Taboo, and it was amazing, absolutely amazing. Thank you to everyone who supports us, because without the community, we wouldn't be doing what we do. The mayor was there, Councillor Mike Botting. I had to think about that for a second. And then we had Councillor which other thing? The one from Orpington. Oh, my goodness. I've forgotten his name now. It's just gone out my head. Can you believe it?
I can't think
of it. That's menopause for you.
Hello.
Bog brain. Isn't it? But it's been an amazing, amazing time for us. And we are going to be celebrating our 1 year anniversary come the 24th of February. 2024.
Oh, brilliant.
Can you believe it?
That's all the fourth.
It is all the fourth.
24-4. Yeah.
It's fantastic. So lots and lots of little things happening and little gems falling here and there.
Brilliant.
And yeah, bring brilliant. On the winter.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Zina. We will catch up with some more things from you in a minute.
12:30 TWC Business Beat Radio. Mondays 2 till 4 p.m. UK time. Tips, inspiration, fun, tunes for and from business women on all the socials. www.1230.co.uk at Love to Beat Radio.
Now, from a 12:30 point of view, what we've got this Wednesday is Bromley meeting in Texas Jack's. The food there is brilliant. Have you ever been there, Tina?
No, I haven't.
It's really good. I know what you're saying in that sense. But the staff are great, and we have a really good meeting in there, a room to ourselves. So that's every Monday. That's not every Monday. No, we're every Monday. That's the third Wednesday of every month. And on the 15th of November, we have got our amazing 12:30 TWC Action Day. Now, it's called Action Day.
Is Wonder Woman going to be there?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yay!
What more do you want? Yeah, no, they're all... When we've been through some, when the gang join us, I'm going to go through some of the highlights of the day, but it is an amazing, I'm really, really delighted with all the speakers who have decided to join us. Bromley Mayor, that Zeynep mentioned earlier, and Mayoress, they will be there. And I'm hoping, having just told Jade that you don't hope in business, it happens or it doesn't happen, I'm aiming... Is that the right word? Uh-huh. I'm aiming for a superstar to be there. So, but we'll just have to see whether that happens or not.
You're looking at one right now.
Yeah, well, this is true. This is true.
Okay,
I'm only kidding. You know, absolutely true. So I have two menopause members of the menopause gang on Zoom now, as well as Zeynep in the studio. So between the two of you, you're going to fight over who actually got there first.
I think it was Fiona by half an hour.
Because she was waiting there hours. Fiona Catchpole, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners, please?
I will. Hello, Fiona Catchpole, creator and founder of the Menopause School. The place to be if you're a holistic therapist of any modality and you would like to learn how to integrate menstrual and menopause health into your existing practice.
Sorry, I didn't get all that. Why didn't I hear all that? Sorry. Could you say that again, my treasure? You are, Fiona Catchpole is, ta-da!
Creator and founder of the Menopause School, the place to be if you are a holistic therapist looking to integrate menstrual and menopause health into what you are already doing so you can create calm, confident conversations.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And Ailsa Petchy, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes, of course. My name's Ailsa and I'm from Olive Collective. We are a CIC. We educate, share, empower and support women going through hormone changes and menopause. Our aim is to try and make sure that things sort of like feel that we are helping to empower women and take them through this transformative time as easily as possible. That's me.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Now, I can see that Adele is also waiting to come in. Maybe like Fiona, she's been waiting hours as well. I don't know. Let's find out.
I just realised I'm the only non-menopause lady, as in the expert.
Adele.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. What great timing. Were you waiting hours like Fiona to come be let in?
Yes. Well, I was a little bit late too, but no, I've been waiting hours.
You look great. Show us your top. I know our listeners can't see, but we can all see.
It's my new one. Yeah, it's my new...
Oh, it's lovely.
It's to launch our community interest company in December.
Oh, lovely.
Looks brilliant. So, Adele, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes, so I'm Adele Marty, and I am an executive midlife coach, and I help women be smart, sassy, and very, very, very strong through their hormonal changes, because menopause is the gift that keeps on giving. That's what I do. I build strong bodies. Yeah, it's given me lots of a gift.
Cool. Okay. Now, I've got all these bits of paper here with things written on, which one is not supposed to read out on the radio as such. we're not allowed to read things properly, but I do need to have my age memoir. Now, I've had on seen in my paper over the last couple of weeks, which I can't find, various questions that have been posed in the press, but we're going to come back to that in a minute because I can't find them. Now, Fiona, you were saying earlier that you had a bit of a head of steam on the other day, and you were talking about things that annoy you. What was that all about?
Yes, there are lots of things that generally annoy me on World Menopause Awareness Month. Where would you like me to start?
Well, I don't know. Just leap in and go for it somewhere.
Yeah. I think it's Elsa and I were just about to say that it's terminology and, for example, it's confusing terminology, I think, that's over-medicalised is one of the main things that kind of get me frustrated, because it does make it harder to get the message across that menopause doesn't just happen. People, the way the narrative is at the moment, it's coming around quite angry, I think, a lot of the time. And I think it makes it hard for people like myself, Elsa and Adele, to calmly explain transitions, because the terminology is like, you know, I don't know if Elsa was going to say something similar when we were just before we came live, but when I'm in a room, there are people that have been to the doctor, have not been given any clear information, and then I very simply and easily explain the different transitions along the menstrual health timeline from periods to perimenopause and beyond. And you will have people in the room saying, oh, I didn't know I was, oh, well, that makes me postmenopause then. If I haven't had a period for 5 years, well, my doctor never told me that.
Yes.
They don't
you
know,
get
do
that,
they?
Elsa?
Oh, gosh, yes, that's exactly what we have.
Yeah, yes. Zina was just saying that we were talking exactly about what doctors don't tell you. I mean, I'm very fortunate in our doctor's practice, but, you know, pointing the finger and saying they don't tell you, what do they get, 5 minutes with us?
Yeah, I think you've got a 10-minute slot, and if you don't get all your questions in that time, you're done for. But I think you're absolutely right, Fiona. I think the thing that's really difficult is I've done quite a few workshops recently, and you're absolutely right. Most of them are saying, "Well, I've joined my friend. I've had a few ladies who actually do know that they're postmenopause, which is helpful." But then I say to them, "You know, so how are you feeling? You know, do you still have hot flushes? Yes, I do. Do you still, you know, do you still have problems with your sleep? Yes, I do. Just tell me, you know, this anxiety, is confidence, these sorts of things." And they're going, "Oh, that's still related to menopause then." And it's like, oh my goodness. You know, if with all the information that's out there, it's still really, really confusing. And it's funny how women who are in postmenopause think that they need no help now. It's like, if you're in perimenopause, that seems to be the word that everybody's hooking onto. And it's like, if you're early days, that's where you need to have help. But actually, it's the postmenopausal women who need more help, because they haven't got the estrogen in their bodies. But it's trying to get the information across. So Fiona, I just can only imagine what you've gone through with your frustrations. Yeah.
I mean, the lady in particular had also been to the doctors who had given her HRT, hadn't really explained very clearly how to use it, so she was therefore too scared to use it, and then also hadn't been told that she was postmenopause and the reason why he was telling her to use it in this particular way. So it's great that I'm there, that's my job, it's my passion, it's what I want to be doing, but it's like you do think we've come so far. And but I think it is part of the narrative in the media. It hasn't quite caught up with us yet, so I guess we've got to be a bit patient and empathetic in some respects. But yeah, it would be nice if it was a tad more of a holistic conversation generally, and perhaps people would start to tune in. I think we're missing people. I think people are falling through the gaps because it's quite an aggressive tone at the moment. It's very medical, it's very HRT focused. And it would just be nice there to say to everybody, like, let's just all calm down.
Well, if I can sort of I can just get in with my Tappensworth here. Sorry, don't be like that. over the last couple of weeks, I've been picking up headlines. And I'm just gonna run down this list and wait for the responses that come from you girls. Male menopause gift wrapped excuse for shirkers to get paid for doing nothing. Unions claim men face bullying over menopause. Menopause madness. Menopause can be a nightmare. It's not a disability. Social worker issues boss with lack of menopause help. NH Trust that gives staff a year off for male menopause. So off you go. Zenat, you're in the studio. What are thoughts on that? We'll go around it. Let's imagine we're in a circle. So we go Zenat, Fiona, Ailsa, and then Adele.
Great, very writing. Well, not being a menopause expert like you wonderful ladies, I'm coming from a different angle. So it's great to get your insights, because already some of the things that you've been mentioning in terms of going to the doctors and then giving you the information, I have encountered myself and have been going up and down for the last 8 months. But apparently, I've been perimenopause, should we say, for some time now. There is a thing about the conversation that needs to be spoken more of, so that it's, as Fiona said, it's not as aggressive. But I think often it depends how it's viewed in different belief systems around menopause and the culture as well. And there's a huge impact of that.
Yes. Thank you. Fiona, what thoughts on that?
Actually, can I go next, Jackie, if that's all right? I think.
well, I can't stop you, so go for it. I suppose I could turn you off.
well, it's just to say, though, that the one about the men going through menopause and being able to have some time off, I honestly, there were no words that were actually able to be repeated about that. I was so horrified that the newspapers could pick up on the fact that men who've actually now made some comments about they feel like they're going through a menopause and that they are feeling certain symptoms and that they need to have time off because of their anxiety and their confidence have been taken seriously and they've actually acted upon that, and women have been going through this forever, and we're still trying to shout and make ourselves heard, and we don't get any of that recognition. So I'll be honest with you, I had to keep my mouth shut when I saw that headline.
Yeah. You sort of do a double take on it, don't you? I mean, is it April the 1st? No, it's not. We can't,
I thought it was a joke. I actually did think it was a joke when I first saw it. I did.
My other thought was, okay, when we as women have the menopause at whatever stage we're at, we all know it's got to impact on the people that surround us. So our friends, our family, were they meaning the knock-on effect from a woman's menopause that the guys were feeling? But I don't think that's so, is it? They're talking about chemistry.
Yes. Yes, they were talking about their own chemistry and their own management of their hormones and their changes, that they were more obviously more important. Like I said, best for me not to really say any more than that at the moment. Okay. What do you think, Adele?
I have the pleasure. I actually coach men and women. So I actually coach men through andropause and women through both in professional settings. And I had the pleasure of being in a virtual boardroom of property investors, predominantly men. So I would be my actual reaction is I work very closely with men. I think that is the media-led comment for controversy. Right. Because we're 40 years into this, and if we'd be reeling out the same headlines, it just wouldn't have flown. So that's my opinion, because I work very closely with men, both in the boardroom and in the gym. and they have a very different view of it. And I actually enjoy coaching. But what I do is I show each of them their respective graphs, because it's still science, it's still human biology. And I get just as many men going, oh my God, so that's why I've probably been, my muscles are going, because of they didn't really understand the drop of the testosterone. The bit that really, it's all about understanding each other. And when I show the fluctuation bit in the middle with the women, you know, we love it, don't we, on that crest of a wave, and that the challenges that we face, like, oh my God. I said, but when we come out the other end, all of us have got the, this is why I work with Post, because I am now 13 years, and I'm going to share a little story in a minute about what's changed, and nothing's changed. So at the end of all the bit in the middle that we have to go through, that we do need some extra support on, muscle loss is the same for us both, but we it's slightly faster, and bone density and dementia, all this great stuff. So we come together in the end, but the estrogen impact, etc. And I just sat there and I'm like, we get it now. So I've been working this space for the last year, both on the ground in the gym and also in the boardroom. So I do believe, so having that ground roots work, I think that was a very provocative media-led comment to drive that through. Mm. Now, also, I work with, obviously, women who that actually struggle to even ask for the time off because they've had to fight like I did to get in the boardroom and don't want to. And that could have been menopause. There were anything as well. And then also, so there's a whole mix of society in there as well. And there's some Facebook groups where they're looking. I'm quite astounded in this Facebook group what they're asking for. The headings, and somebody said, are you going to put your pitch in? I said, no, I want to put my pitchfork in and say, this is the headline you're looking for, and you want people to come forward. So I do think there's a bit of a media frenzy around it, because the men and the women I work with on the ground, do you know what I mean? It's just that thing. So I do think there's an element in there as well. And coming back to that point, so gosh, I can't believe I'm going to say it's 13 years post-menopause, and I went to the GP because I'd had some blood work done privately. It wasn't good, especially around my hormones, considering I was on some supplementation as well. And I went in and I showed him my blood work I'd done privately, and he sat there and went, are you concerned about this? I said, yeah. And I said, look at this. I said, I've got zero any hormones at all. He went, you seem quite worried about it. I said, yeah, I am. He said, right, okay. He said, I think the first thing you need to do is to put you on antidepressants, right? So I sat there and I said, 13 years ago, when I broke down in the boardroom, you offered me depressants. I said, 13 years on, nothing's changed there. All that mandatory training, all these headlines, everything you're supposed to be doing, that is it. And I said to him, but you know what has changed? I own my blood work. I know I don't feel great. And I'm not going to expect no for an answer. I said, and by the way, I'm a qualified menopause coach. He went, well, we'll have all the blood's work done with the NHS. And I went back and the blood work, and I've been supported and that's been dealt with. But that was my experience as a postmenopausal woman. He said, well, that's what you expect. And he even said, you know, before, what type of job he got. That was exactly the conversation I had 13 years ago.
Oh, that's
my reality, and I'm a coach. Yeah, but that's common. I did a live yesterday on live stream, and the amount of comments I got sharing my story, I'm sharing there's more to this, but I'm not revealing that until Wednesday. The women are going, I thought it was me. Mm. So there's so much more to do. But the difference is, as Fiona and I have been working together for years, we're now battling media noise, headlines, Instagram, making promises with products that just don't deliver. So I think our job is getting harder, not easier.
Agreed.
Yeah. Because do you think the more people are aware, the more questions are being asked, the more they're delving into it and demanding that they have answers and solutions to it?
I don't know.
And the marketeering and the marketeers have got a better opportunity as well.
I actually don't. So it's very similar to you, Adele, in terms of working on the ground to work in with people. And I actually don't even think it's that. I did a focus group on Friday, a really fantastic one with Professor Joyce Harper. She's looking at trying to bring in a standardised education and support for menopause, which is really exciting. And there were some incredible women in this room. And when we were talking about it, they were actually thinking that the focus group was going to be all about the clinical side, you know, almost like, okay, what do we need to do as doctors? And the thing that I think is really important is the basics are just not understood. The basics of what is happening to your body as you age and as hormones change, the whole 101. And when we got down to the nuts and, you know, bolts of it all, you know, facilitating the ability for women to understand that, you know, when these hormones change, these are potentially what you, some signs and symptoms that you can sort of signpost yourself to. And then once you get to that, this is what you can do. You know, that's one of the things I think we're not being told early enough. I think we've said this a lot, haven't we, Fiona, in the past. I think Adele as well, the three of us. You're just not told early enough what to sort of like potentially expect. And then you can make some good judgment calls. There's no judgment. So it's not that women are then finding these, like they get these bits, drips and drabs of information in, you know, out of order of what is working for them. And then they don't know what they're supposed to be asking, then don't know what they're supposed to be doing to help themselves. And we seem to be going around in this circle where we don't seem to then have progressed. And Adele, I can't believe, as you say, 13 years on, you're still getting the same response from a doctor. That's just so frustrating.
And that, you know, with all the education, everything that's out, it's like with anything, it's the person you get. It's a lottery from that point of view. And I love the work that things like Joyce Harper are doing, but it's only as good as it's implemented. It's not what you know, it's what you do. And and that's the bit I'm struggling with, the doing, not the knowing.
Like I've been able to, Adele, you might know this actually, I've been able to teach some NHS-based health coaches, social prescribers and social prescribing link workers in the last 2 months about how to set up a menopause awareness group, because social prescribing is now finally getting around to being able to support menstrual health and menopause. But I have then gone in with my favourite bit, which is the menstrual health first. So I've helped you join the dots between menstruation and menopause. And I think that is now the way forward, because they're all sat there, that they're working with clients on mental health, they're challenged with all sorts of things to do with perimenopause, but they had not realised it was actually all starting with menstruation.
Yeah.
And so now I am making some headway. 40 people in the NHS, that's all.
Every little helps, Fiona. Every conversation we have, everybody listens to it, then we're making some progress. That's really good.
I think that's what we've got to do, really. It's almost as if we need to stop talking about menopause and talk about menstrual health, because it just seems to be going around and around in a circle. But how we get the medical professionals trained, I don't know, which is why I'm coming it from the holistic perspective, and hoping that the conversations will then filter through in that respect. And as we've all got CICs as well, so I managed to get some money from the lottery to implement a menstrual health project in my local postcode as well. So I'm trying to connect all the interagencies and work at it from the mums that are around the 38-year age group, so they can start to understand. And if I can get further down the line to the teens and the 20s, then that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, fantastic. So well done, you.
It's interesting what your ladies are saying in terms of education and things. So in a way, posing a question, because I come from a teaching background, and when the girls get to the age of year 5, so they're around 9, 10, and they're heading off, the education that they're giving them about menstrual cycle and periods is very, very backdated. So where do you see that? Yeah. I mean, because I truly believe, because I was never taught about, you know, periods and menstrual cycles ever. I learned from outside. My mother didn't even speak to me about it. It was like, oh, okay, here it is. Take pad, off you go.
Yeah, I was the same. I'm going to stop you at this point because the adverts are going to kick in very shortly. Okay. And I can see that this is going to...
But we'll answer the question after.
Yeah. Exactly. We'll answer the question properly. Perhaps you might run it again.
I have a plan, Dana. I have a plan.
This is the 1230 TWC Business Beat Radio with Jackie Groundsell on Love to Beat Radio.
We are live on air with everybody. Can you hear me, my wonderful guests, via Zoom?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Zina, so we've got with us today, we've got Zina to join us. She's just going to raise that question again Fiona Catchpole, Ailsa Petchy. I always say that, Ailsa Petchy. Sorry. and Adele Martin. And I hope I haven't forgotten anybody. So, Zeenat, would you mind repeating what you said before we had the break with the ads? Because I know everybody else is absolutely itching to get stuck into the conversation about our main topic today, which is about the menopause celebration.
Absolutely. And earlier on, we were talking about education around menopause. And so I posed the question in terms of menopause or leading up to it. Should it be, because I believe it should be, taught from an earlier age. So, you know, as I said, in schools, they don't start learning about your menstrual cycle till you get into year five, year six at that point. And a lot of the information and the videos that they show are very, very backdated. They're actually horrendous. And also some of the information they tell the girls is also incorrect, because each of us experience periods and all of that in a different way, uniquely. Some severely, you know, with pain, with a lot of, bleeding. Should I say? Am I allowed to say that on
air? Yeah,
am
absolutely. I allowed to say that on air? But it's bleeding. A fact, isn't it?
But, you can't avoid that. I'm quite open with what I say. But and that is incorrect information that is being given to these young girls. So I just wanted to get your thoughts from the expert side of what's happening there. Is this, do you believe that this needs to change at that end or not so far down?
The other thing, just to sort of stick my tuppence worth in there, is culturally.
Yeah.
Because we are a multicultural country.
And I mentioned that earlier on, didn't I? Cultures,
yeah.
And belief systems around that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Over to you, girls.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, the period side of it. Yes, you're correct. At Key Stage 3, which is the senior age, even if you go onto the BBC website now and you look at the GCSE revision, it still refers to estrogen as a female hormone and testosterone as a male hormone. And they actually only learn about it in the context of reproduction as opposed to menstrual health. They'll have the period talk. Now, part of my CIC funding is I do want to explore this, because one of my sayings is the story of menopause starts with the story of menstruation. We don't talk about menopause because we don't talk about menstruation, mm-hmm. and we don't talk about menstruation because no one taught us how to. So this is where I'm trying to take my work. But because of safeguarding, because of the technicalities of talking to people under the age of 18, it is more challenging unless you're in the education system. So my plan is to educate the educators. But accessing them at the moment with everything that they have going on and still catching up from COVID, and guidelines from the government were that PHSE now has to include menstrual health and menopause. I haven't found a single senior school actually including that. Mostly the ones I've come across, the PSHE teacher is a male head of PSHE. That's so whereas right. he can confidently talk about mental health from his own personal experiences or other things that come in PSHE, which is personal sexual health education, those male teachers do not have any personal direct understanding of menstruation, so it's still being missed out. So if you want to start a campaign, I'm with you there on that one.
Because I'm actually referring to primary schools rather than the secondary schools. So the end of primary schools.
I don't think you can at that level. Yeah, I think you can only do it at periods as to what is a period, and as if we can make sure the science was correct, then that would be great. But yeah. I think you have to have some lived experience of menstruation over a couple of years for the next level of information to have context.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's got to be layered carefully. I think it's possible, but it's also within the context of the cohort. I don't think schools and parents are quite ready for it yet.
Yes, it's those loops that you've got to actually kind of jump over. And it is, in fact, a lot of the sort of the hand is given to the parents, because then they have to see what's being taught and then they say yay or nay, really.
Two things occur to me there was, Fiona, do you remember, I think probably last year, my next door neighbour, she teaches at a girls' senior school just around the corner from me. And I went and asked her because we were talking about, you and I were talking about periods and the importance of the information, etc. And she said specifically at that time, they don't sit down and have that conversation. But what they do as teachers is, I don't know, there's some sort of round table type conversation that they have with the girls in a more relaxed way, and they bring it into the conversation then, is what they, what is what she told me. And the other thing that occurred to me was, having a male teacher, how embarrassing for some young girls to be having that conversation. Or is that me?
I think it depends on the teacher, actually. I think you can, you know, I don't think it matters. I just think the information has got to be given in a way that, you know, they can accept or understand. I mean, one of the things that you just said about diverse, you know, our diverse community is that I recently saw a keynote speaker, Ruby Mort, who is part of WUKA. She's the Wake Up Kick-Ass lady who had created, was the first creator of period pants. And she was explaining that she comes from Nepal, and in Nepal, the way it works for 12-year-olds is that they, you know, their parents, the parent might cut up an old sari, and that is used as their sanitary wear, you know, so it's not what we're used to in the UK, for example. And that the girls are isolated. They're actually sent away from the community for the 7 to 8 days of their menstrual cycle. And she was so shocked when she came to the UK, could not understand how, you know, on a certain level, it was really sort of much more talked about and people, you know, and all the sanitary stuff. But then actually, when I actually found out about the statistics for the amount, I mean, we found out, not through this one, but through another thing, that the NHS uses or pays £255 million a year on incontinence pads, and pads, you know, for whether it's incontinence or period pads. That's a huge amount of money to be spent on things like that. But when you actually then think about, you know, children or other diverse communities coming together, how do you educate where you've got some children who are told that it's almost like you're not allowed in the community every time, every month it comes along, you've got to be isolated and you're out of the community for 7 to 8 days at a time. Therefore, as Fiona was just saying, how do you then get, you know, the go-ahead from a parent from that type of background to accept being able to talk about periods, you know, especially from the younger, so primary school, definitely that won't, there won't be any correlation there because they're not really having their cycle at that stage. But yeah, it's a really tricky subject, especially when you look at, as you say, the diversity, you know, you need to be able to be all inclusive, but it's very difficult too when you're you know, looking at people's religions and their beliefs and that sort of thing.
Can I just jump in there as well? So with that, you know, I can say that I've experienced that. So coming from a Muslim background, exactly that. If you have your period, you are basically, in some term, outcast. So if you were to go to the mosque, you were not allowed to sit with the rest of the people. You had to sit in a different area because you were regarded as unclean. That's that thing until, you know, and then you've got to go through a whole process of prayers to cleanse yourself down before you can come back.
I mean, Zina, that's just horrific. That's such a horrific. I was absolutely floored when I heard Ruby's story, and the fact that, you know, you sound so balanced and, you know, from having that background, that's, I you know, how, you maybe you're the right person to ask, how do you talk about that and bring that subject?
I'm quite a rebel, so in my family, I am quite a rebel. I don't follow my religion, but I've always been the one where I used to do the opposite of what I was told to do. I was very, very much open with my my parents. Well, more my mum, because my mum was more in the scene than my dad. And it was just, I'm always saying what's on my mind. And that's the way I kind of grew up. But obviously my mum would listen, but then she wouldn't say anything. So I actually was quite lucky in that sense, because my, you know, growing up could have been a lot worse, because I've seen some girls who have been, you know, not allowed to go out. They've been locked in their rooms. If they disappoint,
traumatized. I mean, at the age of 12, you just toddle. Yeah, you just want to cuddle at that age, don't you? Because I just couldn't imagine sending my daughter away. It's just the most horrific thought. It's just
Joe Brianti, who was a guest of ours, Fiona and Elsa, you may remember. She told us a story about when she was at work, I think, or she might have been at university. She was friends with a young Asian girl and used to go back every day for a cup of tea or something at her house. And one day the girl said to her, I'm really sorry, you can't come in today for tea or whatever. And she said, oh, well, that's okay. And then later on she found out why that was. It was because the girl had her period and she wasn't allowed in the kitchen.
There's a lot of barriers when it comes to different cultures and then those belief systems. And then as we grow up, it's, you know, each individual. And for me as well, there are times where I kind of step back, but then I was like, no, this is me and I have to look after me as number one. So it's a mindset thing. And then just having those conversations with the people around you. I mean, you know, just like we were speaking about males maybe teaching about the subject. And I think actually, and that's what my Let's Talk Better campaign is all about, breaking down stigmas and taboos. It doesn't matter who you are, we need to be having these conversations and, you know, and stopping these barriers, because there are a lot of single families out there, male families or gay couples, that have children, girls, and we need to have those conversations with them.
Just to build on the extreme, I've heard postmenopausal women of different cultures who have paid me in cash, and so there's no trace of where they're spending their money, because they're actually asking for help on postmenopausal. And they were talking around the impact of the generation above them, but they were trying to hold it all together. So I've seen, you know, the older from different cultures attacking it as well and asking me to be quiet and cash, because then there's no trace of it. So it's just, you know, it's that conversation.
Terrible.
Yeah,
it is.
Again, it was an interesting mix to actually be honest with that.
In Birmingham here, I'm actually part of an event. We did menopause and Ramadan a couple of months ago. And we're actually just booked another event here. I'm working with two lovely, lovely girls, Amila and Zainab. And we're running an event that is primarily focused on women of faith, of Muslim faith, and how to manage their menopause effectively. So we've actually got the room booked and everything sorted. So you need to come up to Birmingham, guys.
Where it's happening. Well done. That's amazing. Yeah. And of course, you know, with women who are Black and Southeast Asian backgrounds, they actually struggle with more severe symptoms, you know, as well. Can't those, you know, so whether it's hot flushes or those sorts of things, I just think, you know, not being able to talk about it, you know, have it for longer periods as well, and yeah, they can suffer for longer. It's been a real eye opener. I've sort of like felt quite ignorant really to it until I sort of been sort of like thrown into it a lot more in the last few months. And
Zinat's just written me a little note that I couldn't read, so we've had to have a bit of a whisper. FMG, she's saying to me.
So is that something that comes in part of everything that we are talking about?
Anybody?
Oh, sorry, what was the question?
I missed it, sorry.
FMG.
F for Freddie, M for Mother,
yes.
G for God.
I'm not having conversations about it at the moment.
Okay, because that's a massive implication as well, isn't
what
that
is
right?
It? What is
so
it?
So female mutilation.
It's FGM, isn't it?
What did
not
I say?
FMG.
FMG.
Female genital mutilation. Yes, FGM.
Sorry. Yeah, FGM.
I'm dyslexic, maybe. Yeah. I've just figured that one out.
Maybe.
It doesn't help me.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah.
Female mutilation, right?
Yeah,
genital mutilation.
Yeah, not on my radar at the moment, but I'm aware of it, and I've had friends just finishing their degree in midwifery, and she had to write about it as part of her midwifery exam. But it hasn't come up in any of the conversations in the groups that I've been with, neither with a Miller. The most profound thing that I discovered from the conversation with women of faith is how the perimenopausal symptoms of disconnect and depression kind of symptoms has an impact on their ability to pray, and how that is impacting them, their kind of anxiety levels, because they go to pray, it feels different because they feel different. They don't know that they're perimenopausal, and they're not able to explain their own personal disconnect. And then when they sit down to pray, that's not working. So they think they're a bad Muslim, that they're broken, and they just pretend to pray just in case someone's watching.
That makes
their perimenopausal symptoms worse.
That's awful.
Yeah. I've not heard of that, so I didn't realise that was something that happened. Wow.
I'm picking up all my questions that you've ladies gave me, and I'm trying to think, what? So we've done Fiona's annoyance bit, I think. I want to make sure that everybody's covered here. So so with Adele, if we can bring you in again. So what about the importance of women and investing in themselves? I know you touched on it a little bit earlier, but I think if we can expand
absolutely.
On that.
Yeah, I can. So after doing, I feel like I've done my apprenticeship. You know, obviously I've been in this space for 13 years, but I can't believe it's 3.5 years, can you believe that, now of working at grassroots level. Mm. You know, from all women, from business, solo, entrepreneurs, all the way up to women in the boardroom. So definitely working in this space. And I haven't got time, can't do this. This is important, that's important, this is important, that's important. And then they go, right, and this is how I'm building my business, or this is how I'm building my career. And I go, I just wish you put the same investment into yourself as you do your family and your career, because actually you're living a false dichotomy. And from that point of view, because of the way that I've lived my life over the last 13 years, and it's not just about health, it's about all of that, my thing for this year, which we'll share a bit more on Wednesday, is about investing in themselves. And so my message is more than menopause. It truly is about, when are women going to stop and invest in themselves from a health and a wealth point of view? Because even yesterday, I'm still, we're receiving that. And there's that mix of what message or what will happen to you to start investing in yourself? How bad will it get before you invest in yourself? So that's the bit that I'm sharing. And then the other bit is, then when it does get so bad, I get, have you got a quick fix or a supplement? I go, no. Because the whole point of investing in your future self is I'm looking back now at Adele, age 40, and I'm now 53. I'm very proud of her that she didn't take no for an answer. And I'm reaping the benefits of the last 13 years of investment. And I've got a significant amount of investment to do personally to get to the next few years. And I'm having to share my story, and it will be as I go towards the end of the week. And women go, oh, my God. And so for me, it's just like, that has not changed in 3.5 years. And with the pressure that we're under and our lifestyle and the stresses, that particularly the women that I'm working at in business, I know what stress is. I know stress put me through my very early menopause very, very quickly. And I'm trying to share more than that. And I think for me, it's having that investment. And I can share data and graphs till the cows come home. When I share stories, it makes an impact. So for me, it's about sharing our story. And I think at the moment, I don't know, as Fiona says, the message feels very scientific. It feels very masculine and very angry. They're switched off anyway. The women, honestly, I'm talking to, they're well switched off. They want to hear stories. And I'm going to say this, not from celebrities, no. No. They want to hear it from women that are trying to manage everything. They're fed up with celebrity-led products and campaigns. They want to hear from real women like us that are trying to run multiple businesses and trying to hold it together. They are fed up, the women I'm working with.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I agree with you on that, and I'm sure all the other ladies do as well. Before we go any further, I just would like everybody to, because I'm sure listeners will want to know how they get in touch with you. So there's two things I'd like from you all now. First of all, I think you've all got an event of some sort coming up, whether that's related to menopause or whether that's related to your extra specialisms, it doesn't matter. So what I would like you to do, please, if you would, starting off with Zina and then Fiona, Ailsa and then Adele, is to let everybody know how they can actually get in touch with you and about these events that individually you're all running. Is that all right with everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, so Zina, if you're far away, yeah. Please.
So Zina Narani, and you can find me on LinkedIn as Zina Narani. I'm also available on all the other social media platforms as Zina Narani. In terms of something coming up, I haven't got my own event coming up, but actually tomorrow, and we are speaking about menopause, so it fits in quite well, there's a Women Well Fest event at the Bromley Community House, which is from 10 to 3pm. And I'll be speaking around the mindset and how you can manage the challenges that you might have as a woman, just in general. But there'll be talks by various people on that day about menopause. There's some talk about menopause and money, so menomoney. So lots of different aspects. So, yes, do come along if you are not local. Doing anything. Yeah. Or local.
Cool. Thank you. And Fiona, please. Hello.
I was coughing a bit then. I switched my microphone up. Hi, Fiona Catchpole from The Menopause School. You can find me at themenopauseschool.com. The next event that we have coming up actually is an in-person event on Saturday, the 25th of November. It's up here in Birmingham, but if you contact the website, contact me there, I'll be able to share more information. But it's basically talking about what I call the story of menopause and then how to build your menopause toolkit. But it's focused on women of faith and particularly the Muslim faith.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Ailsa, please.
Hi, so my name's Ailsa. I'm from Olive Collective. You can find me at on Instagram, Olive Collective UK, on Facebook, Olive-Collective. Would have liked to have got that much simpler. We've actually got two events coming up this week. We've got on World Menopause Day, which is Wednesday the 18th of October. We're actually doing an online event, a free event, for anybody who wants to join us. If you go on to our 50 Shades of Menopause group, Facebook group, you'll be able to get all the details from there. There is an Eventbrite just to sign in, just to allow yourself to come in. But it's something that you can come along to all day. It's 10 till 4:30. We've got some gorgeous guest experts coming along. And it's going to be everything from talking about busting myths about HRT to nutrition. Just lovely, some very simple guidance as to how you can feel good and feel empowered and hopefully make the transition a little bit easier. And then on the Thursday, the 19th, we're actually at John Lewis in Milton Keynes, and we've got a 5:30 session talking specifically about hot flushes, poor sleep and headaches. And we're going to be sorting out some lovely natural ways to deal with that. A little bit of breath work, a little bit of stretching. We've got a guest speaker, Marva Williams from Shush Menopause Wellness as well with me. So we've got a really busy week, but hopefully you're very welcome to join us online, or if you're in Milton Keynes, come to Milton Keynes and join us at John Lewis as well.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And we're just going to finish up with Adele's, where we can find her. Well, not finishing up, but with Adele. But then what I'd like to do is go around the table again and ask you all for a, dare I say, a hot tip for the situations. So, Adele, over to you. How can people find you and what have you got coming up?
Yeah, so you can find me on executivemidlife.coach. And the best place to find me hanging around is in LinkedIn or Instagram, where I'm smart, sassy and strong on there. And I am actually booked for October, so I have the pleasure of going to speak, I think, 5 times.
Wow.
In person over October and November. I took a decision not to run an event this year as I build my message. So I have been booked. So I'm flat out talking how to invest in your future self. And do you want me to give one tip before
Yes, if we'd like to go back the way we've come. So Adele and then Ailsa, yes, if you'd like to fire away with your tip, please.
Yep. My number one tip is build muscle. Non-negotiable, just do it.
Okay, right. And can I squeeze another little tip out of you? There's no easy way to do that, is there?
No, it isn't. But on my YouTube channel, there will be videos by the end of the week.
Oh,
there
wow.
is no excuse not to invest in your future self.
Okay, thank you. Ailsa, what about your top tip, please?
I would say the best top tip to help if you ease the menopause anxiety is to slow your breath down, just to learn how to take a deep breath in, maybe count for the count of four, and then take a deep breath out for the count of eight. Doing that three or four times will really help you to get your parasympathetic nervous system back into control, and you can find the ability to actually function again. Sometimes we just get thrown off so quickly, and those simple things can really, really help. So take a slow deep breath in for the count of four, deep breath out for the count of four, the out count being longer than the in count, and you'll find that you'll feel better quicker.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I pressed the wrong button there, so there's all sorts of things happening on my screen in panic world. Fiona, what about you? Please, thank you.
I think those tips are great. I mean, movement is non-negotiable. Breathing is non-negotiable. We could talk about nutrition and real food, the three fundamentals and sleep. But I think initially, if you're not ready to take on board any of those tips, the first thing you've got to do is acknowledge the process. You know, that this is something that started the moment your two X chromosomes united. It should not be coming up on you as a surprise. And you're traveling a menstrual health timeline. And so acknowledge this, step into that space and listen to Ailsa and Adele for everything else.
I love it. That's why we all need to come together with an event. Okay. Thank you, Fiona. See you next.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, all those wonderful tips that have just been shared. But for me, on my side, it's about stepping back, becoming more self-aware of what's going on with you, and look at what look at your mindset, look at how what things you're saying to yourself, and try and reframe those things that you say to yourself. So I always go by the quote, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change, by Wayne Dwyer.
Oh, interesting one. Okay. All right. Ladies, thank you very much indeed. Is there anything else that you would like to add before we go into some of your choices of music, which we're going to kick off when we do that with Unstoppable, which I think was your choice, wasn't it, Adele?
Maybe? Yes, definitely Unstoppable for this season. Absolutely.
Okay. So anything else anybody would like to add? We do need to get ourselves together so we can organise this event for next year, I think. Zinat, you got anything you'd like to add?
No, not really. No.
Okay. So where can people find you?
That's on LinkedIn or any of the social medias, Zinat Narani.
Okay. Thank you. Fiona, anything you'd like to add? She's gone.
Just breathe. Breathe, like Ailsa said. That's one of the most important things in building the muscle. What else would I like to add? No, we don't have time for me to add just one particular thing, but it is just...
I'll let you have two then. Listen. Go on. How's two?
Yeah, no, it's just listen to yourself and take a whole person approach. And don't worry about the narrative. I know that it's actually starting to scare younger women now, the narrative that's out there. So please just reach out to one of us guys. Come and have a conversation. Join one of any of our free sessions. Follow us on our social media and just take some deep breaths. And create a list of questions that you'd like to ask. Because I know that I think we all get asked that, you know, what can I take? What supplement can I take? Yeah. Right? It's got to start from the mind, the breathing and acknowledging and things like that and understanding that it is a process. But there are people that can help. So just, you know, take down all of our contact details, Elsa and Adele, and all of us, you know. So, yeah, just breathe, people. Just relax. It's not as bad as you think. I'm post-menopause and it's, you know, like I haven't got two heads. I haven't turned green. And,
well, you know, were going to tell them about that later, were you?
Yeah.
The thing is as well, apart from we're going to finish up with Adele and Elsa, your comments and your contact details, but if anybody gets really stuck and you can't find anyone, just get in touch with me and I can put you in touch with these wonderful, wonderful hot stuff menopausal gang ladies. So Adele, over to you. Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, building what Fiona says, and this is my strapline for this year: be smart, be sassy, be strong, but most of all, be you.
Brilliant. And how do people get hold of you?
Just go, the best way to find me at the moment is on LinkedIn or Instagram. With Adele Martin, you'll find me.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you for that. And Ailsa, what about you?
Yeah, I completely agree with everyone today, and it's been lovely to chat. So I would say, actually, one of the things, if you really don't know what's going on with you and you think you've had a few changes, is to just start journaling. I think writing down, just on a daily basis, just take 28 days and just almost like map out how you are for 28 days, and you'll start seeing a little pattern can sometimes form. And we're all unique, so nobody is the same. So don't compare yourself to anybody else. And, you know, you may be just really fortunate. You might glide through this time and that's going to be wonderful. But if you don't, as Fiona quite rightly said, you know, we're here. We've gone through a lot of it. So we are supportive and are able to help you if you need any extra help. And if you want to find out a little bit more about Menopause 101, we have the Olive Health app. So you can go onto Apple or onto Google Play. It's a free app and it gives you some really great basics for all sorts of things. If you want to have a look at nutrition, things like that. But just do one thing positively for yourself. Don't take the whole of everything that you think you want to do, like you do after Christmas. You know, we're going to stop eating. Don't do any of that. Just choose one thing that you can do consistently in a positive way for your body that will really help. And I think that one thing should be journaling. That'll be a really good way. And breathing, as Fiona quite rightly said. So that's a little tip from me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for a really constructive session today. I'm sure our listeners have got tons and tons from this. Thank you, thank you, thank you for my super hot stuff menopausal gang, from Fiona Patchfoal, Ailsa Petchy, Adele Martin and Sidat Nurani. Thank you so much for the most amazing show today. I'm sure our listeners got absolutely tons and tons from that today. Watch this space in terms of what we're going to plan now, early new year, to be able to support you. And also just to remind you that we're broadcasting here from the Love to Beat radio station based here in Southeast London, Penge, and we will be here. Is that the Royal We? Yeah, I think it's the Royal We. So Sonia Brown will be my guest next Monday. So do tune in Mondays 2 till 4, and the podcasts will be here. The podcast of this show will be available on the 1230 website. That's all the W's, 1230.co.uk. And also on the Birds on the Blog website as well. This Friday, not this Friday, but the following Friday, it will be available for you then. So if you've missed any, or you want to remind yourself on anything that our fantastic ladies have said today, you can catch up with any of the shows there. So this week we've got 12:30 TWC Bromley in Texas Jacks at 12:30. That's a surprise, isn't it? And the one thing that I've not mentioned, and we haven't really got time now to go through it all, but the most amazing, amazing day for you on the 15th of November is available. Bookings and all the details of the topics, including AI, social media, finance, there's a whole string of stuff there, email, the power of email marketing, lots and lots of things there on the website. So do have a look. There are savings if you bring a girlfriend. It's only £32 and that includes your lunch. So it's 9:30 to 4:30, including your lunch, £32 for one person, £35 if you'd like a stand. And if you bring a girlfriend with you, you can split the cost of £50 for two people. So it's just £25 each. So bargain, absolute bargain, isn't it? So do have a look at the website, all the W's, 1230.co.uk. It's Jackie Groundsell. I've been your host today. And again, thank you to my super guests. And thank you, my listeners, for listening. And I will be with you again next week. See you soon.
This is the 1230 TWC Business Beat Radio with Jackie Groundsell on Love to Beat Radio.